Hilchos, Chakirus, the Kablonus, Halacha Beis. Rav Nosson Zal quotes the Shulchan Aruch first. We spoke about this before, a sharecropper, where the arrangement is that he gives a fixed amount of crops. Let's say the agreement is that the owner of the field is going to get 200 kilo of what the field produces, regardless of circumstances. So there's the owner, who's in this case is called the Noisein, and there's the Choicher, who's the sharecropper, the one who's going to be doing the actual work in the field. So the halacha says, HaChoicher Sodom Echaveroi. If a person assumes a sharecropper relationship with his friend, Va'acholo Chagov, and locusts come in and eat up the whole crop, or destroy a major part of the crop, Oy Nishtadfo, or a Makas Shidofoin, a certain type of disease hits the crops and affects it, Im Makas Medinahi, if it affects the entire city, if all fields in the entire city are infected by this thing, menakeloi mechichuroi, then he has the right to deduct from the amount that he's required to give back to the owner. Let's say he was supposed to give him 200 kilo, he only has to give him 100 kilo or 50 kilo, whatever Bezin, you know, calculates. Vim loy hoiso makas medina, whereas if this wasn't a plague that hit the entire city, ein menakeloi, then he has no right to subtract from what he has to deduct, from what he has to give to the owner. Afal pi shenishtadfu kol sadoisov shel noisein. Even if all the fields of this field owner got zapped, we still don't say that it's attributed to the field owner, and therefore you deduct from what he, you know, from what you have to pay him, but rather we attribute it to the sharecropper. The sharecropper has to hold a bag. He has to take the brunt of punishment. In other words, that only if it's Makas Medina, then he's allowed to deduct it from what he's got to pay to the owner of the field. If it's not Makas Medina, then even if it happened to affect all the fields of that field owner, still doesn't matter. We still say the sharecropper will have to pay his full percentage that they agreed on originally. Aval im hoisa makas medina, whereas if it was a plague or a situation that struck everybody in that city, she'oz hadin shemenakloi mechichuroi, where then the halach is that the sharecropper is allowed to deduct from the amount that he's got to pay to the field owner, then im nishtadfu roiv sadoisov shel choiker ein menakloi mechichuroi, then the halach is that if this sharecropper has a couple of fields in this city and a couple of fields in a different city and a couple of fields in, he has, let's say, 10 fields altogether, and 6 of his fields got messed up, then we say he can't deduct it from the owner, from what he's going to have to pay for the owner, even in a case of Makas Medina. So in other words, we see that the Shulchan Aruch is going way, way in favor of the field owner, and way, way putting the blame on the sharecropper in any case that we can. So that even, let's say in a certain city, in Tel Aviv, let's say a place where there's fields, Ashdod. Let's say in a place like that, all the fields got hit by a certain type of plague where they all, you know, got messed up. And a certain field owner has fields there and his fields got messed up too, and he's got a sharecropper. And this sharecropper, a majority of his fields that he owns got affected by, you know, let's say he has altogether 10 fields, 6 of them are in this city and 4 in a different city, so that for him, the fact that 6 of his fields got messed up, that's the majority of his fields, we attribute it to him, and we say that he's still got to pay the field owner the full amount. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to give a whole explanation, the result of which is going to show why we favor the field owner so much over the sharecropper. Ois Aleph, Rav Nosson Zal says, Oinyin, Mashe Toilen Halakusa Bechoicher, Yoiser Mi Benoisein, the reason as to why we hang, you know, why we blame the plague on the Choicher so much more so than on the field owner, Ki Bechoicher, Kishenishtadfu Roiv Sedoisov, Ein menakeloi afal pi shoya makas medina. In the case of the choicher, if the majority of his fields got messed up, we don't allow him to deduct from what he's got to give to the owner, even if it was makas medina. V'toilin halakusa b'choicher, and we blame the problem on the choicher. We say it's his punishment. Mashen kein benoisein, whereas in the case of the field owner, shela oilam ein toilin boy, afal pishen ishtatvu kol sadoisav shal noisein, afal pishen ishtatvu kol sadoisav shal noisein, afal pikein ein menakeloi im loihoi samakas medina. In the case of the field owner, if this field owner owned 15 fields, and all of his 15 fields got hit by this plague, as long as it's not a makas medina, it's tough luck on the choicher. We still attribute it to the choicher, and the choicher is going to have to still pay his 200 kilo, you know, from each field. In that case also. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to start explaining, based on a famous chapter on Likutei Moran. This chapter on Likutei Moran is called Kiseitze LaMilchoma Loivecho. That's what it's based on, that pasuk. It's chapter 82 in Likutei Moran. And it's where Rabbeinu Zal coins the term keseder and shaloi keseder. That's the famous phrase in that chapter. And Rabbeinu Zal says, he gives a few examples of what's called keseder and what's called shaloi keseder. Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei is a bechina of keseder, which Rabbeinu Zal says represents zohar, the male. Shaloi keseder, And one reason why is because one of the formats of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei is Mo. When you spell it Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph, it has a numerical value of 45, which is Bigimatria Odom. And in the word Odom, Aleph is the first letter, Dalet is the second letter, Mem is the third letter. It's going in the sequence of the Aleph base. That's one example of showing how it's Keseder. Whereas Chava, who represents female, is Shaloi Keseder. Ches, then Vav, then Hey. We're going backwards. It's called Shaloi Keseder. And Rabbeinu Zal says that Zohar is the Bechin of Keseder, Nekev or Nukva is Shaloi Keseder. Midas HaChesed is usually referred to as a concept of Keseder. Midas HaDin is a concept of Shaloi Keseder. And we're going to talk about this a great deal. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, O'inyin al pi ha-maimar ha-maschil ki seitzei la-melchono, Kosuv, there's a pasuk that says, Ochor vokedem tzartoni, Hashem created man back and front. Adam and Chava were created as Siamese twins originally, right? And she's called the back, he's called the front. Ze bechinas keseder v'shaloi keseder. Kedem hu bechinas keseder. The front, forward, is called keseder. Bechinas aleph beis keseder. The aleph beis in its right sequence. V'ochor hu bechinas tashrak shaloi keseder. When we talk about backwards, that's like the aleph beis tof shin resh kuf. That's called shaloi keseder. That's why Rav Nosson Zal brings in other places that this world that we live in is one big. If you wanted to put a sign up on this world and say, what do you call this world? This world is called shaloi keseder. It's topsy-turvy, where the goyim are on top and the Jews are on bottom. The good people suffer and the bad people seem to have it good. That's why the Gemara says, b'tishrei nivra hoylam, that this world was created in Tishrei. Tishrei is tof shin resh kuf, because yud and kuf are interchangeable. Yud is 10, kuf is 100. In this parkotan, they're the same. Showing that this world, olam hazeh, compared to olam haba, is a bechin of shaloi keseder. Or, the existence before Hashem created the world, there was only Hashem, and everything was keseder. As soon as Hashem went ahead and created, there became a concept of keseder and shaloi keseder. Kaviyochol, Hashem himself is called keseder. This world, which is a step away, a step removed from Hashem, chas v'shalom, is a concept of shaloi keseder. And our mission, the mission of a Jew in this world, as Rabbeinu Zal explains in that Torah, is to bring the shaloi keseder into the keseder. In other words, to convert shaloi keseder to keseder. When a man and woman get married, by her assuming his authority and everything, the shaloi keseder is getting swallowed up. and rectified by becoming part of the Keseder. By her giving up her maiden name and becoming part of him, it's a concept of the Shaloi Keseder becoming botel to the Keseder. And there's a lot in Likutei Moharan itself. Rabbeinu Zal explains this very well. And there's quite a number of halachas in the Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal really talks about, you know, clarifies a lot of things about Yiddishkeit and about life based on this foundation. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, "V'zeh b'chinas odom v'chava, k'seder v'shaloi k'seder. K'seder v'shaloi k'seder. Havaya b'milu yalfin gematria mo odom v'chava, hi b'chinas malchus peh, v'torah shebal peh korinen lo, k'a malchus nikra dibur, v'chulu v'chulu." Rav Nosson Zal is quoting from that chapter in Likutei Moharan. Rabbeinu Zal there talks about Odom and Chava. If you take a look at this name of Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, this, what I'm saying now is easy. Please don't, nothing mystical. Simple, for third graders. Hashem's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, when you spell it regular, it equals 26. Just the base Yud, Hey, and then the Vav, Hey equals 26. The filled out portion of it, the milui of it, the Vav Dalid, when I write Yud as a word, Yud Vav Dalid, plus the Aleph of Hey, Hey Aleph, and the Aleph Vav of Vav, and the Aleph of the last Hey is Begimatria 19, which is Chava exactly. So the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which Bemilui equals a total of 45, the 45 is split into two pieces, 26 and 19. 26 is again Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is basically assumed to be Zohar, male, or Chesed. And the milui of it, the filled-in portion, is the Chava, the 19, which represents the Malchus, which represents the Shekhinah. Now it's just like, again, in a family, the wife, Kol Kvoido Bas Melech Panima, the wife is supposed to be the hidden portion. She's the Milui. On one hand, she's the Shlemus, and she's the Binyan Abayis and everything. But on the other hand, she's supposed to be invisible in a sense, you know, that you don't see her. Compared to the husband, she forfeits her identity. She gives up her maiden name when they get married. She becomes nichlal in him. The Shaloi Keseder becomes nichlal in the Keseder. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there that Chava means speech. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, V'laylo lelaylo yechave das. The word yechave, the verb yechave, means to speak. And we find that women have 9/10 of speech. The Gemara says that. So this milui of Adam, this shelo keseder, is the concept of dibur. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, which is called malchus. The woman is called malchus, and also, like, compared to the Shekhinah, she's the one, when she lights candles on Friday afternoon, she brings the Shekhinah into the house, you know, the Shabbos queen. And it's also called Torah Shebal Peh, because when we talk about Odom, when we talk about this name of Hashem Mo, consisting of two parts, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Chava, you know, the 26 and the 19, that corresponds to the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav is compared to male. Torah Shebal Peh is compared to the female. That's the milui of the Torah Shebichsav. That's why in Halach it says, you're not allowed to put a Gemara on top of a Chumash, just like the Gemara says, Hi lamala v'hu lamata is forbidden. That's how the Zohar Kodesh explains it. That the Torah Shebal Peh is compared to female. The Torah Shebichsav is compared to male. You're not allowed to have the woman on top of the man. That concept. So that's this Shaloi Keseder and Keseder, which is Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Nimtza, Zois HaBechina Malchus Chava, Kishehi Mekusheres LaOdom, LaBechina Smo, Hainu LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Azai Yesh Lo Shleimus V'chius. Rabbeinu Zal says, in that turn of the Likutei Moharan, he quotes a posuk, LaHashem Ha'oretz umaloya. Eretz is Malchus. There's a posuk, Eretz miskoyma maloi. Eretz is one of the nicknames of the Shekhinah, referring to the Malchus, the woman. Shamayim, on the other hand, represents the man. We talk about on top and on bottom. The Shamayim is on top, the Eretz is on bottom. So Shamayim is Bechina Zohar, compared to Eretz, which is Bechinas Nekeva, right? So now there's a pasuk that says, Lahashem Ho'oretz Umaloyo, that when Eretz, which is the Malchus, which is the woman, is plugged into Hashem, Yud Kevavke, then Umaloyo, then it's Bemilua, it's Bishlemus. When the woman is plugged into the man, when the Shalika Seder is plugged into Keseder, then it's Bemilua, it's Bishlemus, everything's okay. Aza Yeshlo Shlemus Vichius. Umi Shemachalik Bechinas Chavo Malchus Liatzmoy, whereas a Jew who Chas V'Sholom tries to separate the Malchus from Hashem. He tries to take the Chava onto himself, in a sense. He tries to take the Malchus to himself. She'omer Ano Emloich, he says, I want to be king. I'm the boss here. You want to know who's the boss here? I'm the boss here. Bozehu Mechalek Umafrido Yisome HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's taking away the kingdom, the authority, the Malchus from Hashem. Azai Eino Bishleimus. Then the Malchus becomes upside down. The word Melech in Hebrew is Mem Lamed Chof. It's upside down. It's the Aleph Beis. It's Shalekes Seder, right? Malchus, by nature, is a Bechina Shalekes Seder. It's Midas Hadin. Dino de Malchus Adina, it says. So therefore, it's only when the Malchus is plugged into Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's plugged into Hashem, then the Shalokes Seder becomes absorbed and straightened out by being plugged into the Keseder. But if a Jew tries to take that Malchus on to himself, to separate it from Hashem, knows he's not going to play by the rules of the Torah. He's not accepting Hashem's authority over him. But rather, he's using his authority at home to tell the kids to put a TV on Shabbat, you know, to do things that are against Hashem. He's unplugging the Malchus from Hashem. Then it's not Bishlemus. Then it's a messed up Malchus. Ki ikar chiyuso mo, hainu haseichel. Because the main chiyus of the Malchus comes only when it's plugged into Hashem's name Mo, which represents Seichel. Rabbeinu Zal in that chapter explains that the word Chochmo is made up of two words, Koyach Mo. That's the Koyach of Mo, the Koyach of this Shem Mo that has the ability to feed the Malchus what it needs and to straighten out the whole Shalokas Seder and make it Keseder. Exactly. Number one, and then the whole picture becomes a Shalokas Seder. Meaning, the only way that this Malchus can become a Bechina of Keseder is when it's plugged into Yud Kevot, when it's plugged into Hashem, when it's plugged into the Torah, the Derech HaTorah, etc.
In other words, when a man takes on himself from his own initiative to be emotional on the woman,
without Hashem, without
Hashem, then the woman can't get her tikkun, and the man is also nefgam also.
Exactly.
I know, so that's the whole Western concept, like the distortion.
Of course.
Man, consciously with his own.
Of course. Watch how Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal are going to explain this, because this is one of the very deep and well-explained topics in Likutei Moran and Likutei Halachos. Vazai hoylech lo shaloi keseder. And then suddenly the man starts seeing that things aren't going right for him. Things aren't going smoothly or right or properly. Because he's put himself into a status of Shalokas Seder, Hainu Malchus, which is Malchus when it's not plugged into Keseder. This thing of Malchus is a dangerous thing. People don't understand. The Gemara says, Horabonus Mekaberes is Baleho. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu had 12 sons. Guess who dropped first? The king. Yosef HaTzadik, the one who was closest to Malchus, he died first, because Malchus buries. So who wants to go near it with a 600-foot pole? This thing is... Rabbeinu Zal putting a... It's Shalokas Seder, it's fire, it's dangerous, it's Dina Malchus Adina. And the only way to play with this nitroglycerin, you know, where it shouldn't blow up in your face, is if you make sure to plug it into Hashem. If you make sure to play hot potato with it. That if I'm the father in the house, if I have kids, or if I have a wife, and the Torah says that they're supposed to respect me, I'm going to make sure not to hold on to that respect at all, but simply to be a conduit, that the minute they give me the respect, pass it on to Hashem. Not to let it sit in my hands and in my stomach, that I'll get fat with Malchus. I'll sit in a chair and have people serving me and think, why? Because I'm the Melech. Then you're separating the Malchus from Hashem. Then you're taking the Malchus to yourself. Whereas if a person sees to it that any authority that he has, whether it be over his wife and children or anybody that's willing to respect him in any way, he doesn't use that respect for himself whatsoever, but uses it only for Hashem, to get that person to respect Hashem through him, then the Malchus won't harm him. Then the Malchus is Nichlal in Keseder, and it's a Malchus Dikdusha, and it's constructive and it's good. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, Ukishezois habchina chava hi mekusheres lehoodom hainu lakodesh baruchu, whereas when this concept of chava, which we're saying is a concept of Malchus, when it's plugged into the concept of Adam, which we're saying here is the name of Hashem, we're talking about the word Adam being used as the Shem Mo of Hashem, that name of Hashem, Azai Hoylech Loikeseder, then things go smooth for that couple or for that family. Ki ba'asar de'iz d'char nukvolayit katamon, because the Zohar HaKadosh says there's a rule that whenever you have Zohar and Nekeva, the Nekeva isn't mentioned. She becomes botel to the Zohar. A woman, when she gets married, when she's together with her husband, she's a non-entity. She loses her entity. Before, she had a name. When she was alone, she had a name. When she got married, her name, her identity gets lost, becomes botel to his. She takes on his name. You follow? So that when you have Nekeva, which is usually a bechin of din, when it gets plugged into chesed, the Nekeva, her identity evaporates. She becomes Nichlal in the Chesed. She becomes part of the Chesed. Nimtzo ki bechinas chavo sheloi keseder nizbatlim al yidei ha'odom keseder. So therefore, chavo, which represents this concept of shelo keseder, becomes botel. The negativity of that becomes botel through odom, which is the bechina of keseder. Ubechinas keseder nikra yud. Rabbi Nizal explains in that chapter on Yikut Emran that the letter in the Hebrew alphabet that symbolizes keseder is the letter yud. Shehamalchus hanikra dalid leslomigarmo klum. Rabbi Nizal explains over there that the letter that represents malchus is the letter dalid, because the word dalus in Hebrew means poor, poverty. And we always use that term to refer to Malchus, because a king has nothing of his own. Kingdom isn't something you have in your pocket. If a group of people decide to accept your authority over them, then you're a king. So kingdom is not something that you have. It's their acceptance of your authority. So therefore, the midah of kingdom is called poverty. In Zohar Kodesh, it's called Deles Lo Migarmo Klum. Just like the moon, which has no light of its own, it's simply a reflection of the light of the sun, this midah of Malchus is called poverty, poor. So the letter Dalit, which in Hebrew the word dalus means poverty, that's the letter that's affiliated with Malchus, that represents Malchus, whereas the letter Yud represents Keseder. The letter Yud represents Chochmah. It says in Rashi in Chumash on Oz Yoshir Moshe Bnei Yisrael, it says Yud al Shem HaMachshovon Emra, that the Yud is talking about their thinking about the future, when Mashiach is going to come and they're going to sing this song. And there's other proofs. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamshich Lo Chiyus HaChochmah HaNikra Yud. Hashem draws life from Chochmah, from Yud, into Dalet, into the Malchus. V'zeh Yud Vov Dalet. And this is what's reflected in the milui of the letter Yud. You spell it Yud Vov Dalet. Vov is shaped like a pipe. That we're drawing something from Yud into Dalet via Vov, which is the pipe. V'zeh Kapecho Yud Gematria Kof. Rabbi Nizal says over there that the pasuk is Ocher Vokedem Tzartoni Vatoshe Solai Kapecho. This is Adam Rishon saying, Hashem, you created me back in front, in other words, as two Siamese twins, Adam and Chava, and you placed your hands over me. So the Gemara says, Al Tikri Kapecho Elo Chofecho. You placed your Chof over me. Chof is 20. The letter Chof in Hebrew means 20. 20 is Yud Vav Dalet. So that Adam Rishon is actually saying that the concept of Adam and Chava is symbolized by the letter Chav, which is actually Yud Vav Dalid. The Yud represents the male, the Dalid represents the female, the Vav represents the pipe from which the male is mashpia into the female. The attachment between Zohar and Akeva, which makes the Shaloi Keseder receive what it's supposed to receive from the Keseder, and makes them both become Nichlal in each other.
The
letter Chof, Chof is Begimatria 20, which is the numerical value of Yud Vav Dalid. We said Yud Vav Dalid represents the flow between male and female. It says Vatoshes Olai Kapecha. Ocher Vokedem Tsartoni, you created me back in front, and you placed over me your hands. Kapecha is your chaf. You placed over me your chaf. That the letter chaf represents this Odom and Chavo, this Ocher and Kedem.
But then all you have is a repetition. You created me male and female.
Front, which is symbolized by the letter Chof, this Yud Vav Dalid.
Yud Nen Tikkun maybe? Is the Chof in Tikkun? In other words, if I place you over me, if I am within Tikkun, then it's Kaseidah?
Of course, that's what we're talking about here. If the Malchus is plugged into more, if it's plugged into Seichel and Chachma, then it's all, then it all jives.
Yud is Kesser.
No, in this case, Yud is Chachma.
Is this basically the Soda Shalafayas also?
Yes, for sure,
no
for sure. For sure, you're going to see it in Likutei Halachos and other places where Rav Nosson Zal talks about a bechina of Keseder and Shaloi Keseder in a person's house. That when a person wants to use his authority in his house for his own personal kavod, then he's going to see all kinds of Shaloi Keseder in the house. And if the husband can train himself, like Rabbi Nezal says, Lemayit b'chvoid atzmoy ulaharbois b'chvoid amokoyim, to get to a point where he has no desire whatsoever for personal kavod at all, his only interest is really the kavod of Hashem in his house, then it becomes possible for the Malchus to get plugged into the Keseder, for the unity between him and his wife to be a Bechina of Keseder, you know, real Keseder.
So until the man does that, the woman cannot really become, she can't get her own identity.
Exactly.
She'll be totally dysfunctional.
Exactly.
But it's really the man's Keseder.
Exactly. That's the way Rabbi Nezal talks about it in that chapter in the Likutei Moharan. That it's all dependent on him. Exactly. Now Rabbi Nosson Zal says, Ukisharoya Odom Shahoilach Loy Shaloi Keseder, and when a person sees that his life is going Shaloi Keseder, that things are not going right or going smooth or going straight in his life, Yeda, the person should know, Sheyeshloi Gadlus, that it's because he has Gaiva. It's because he's not giving the Malchus to Hashem completely. And therefore, Dahainu Ano Emloich, he has inside of him some of this, I want to be king. And what should he do then? Yaseh tshuva. He should do tshuva. And Rabbi Nezal explains over there in Likutei Moharan more about this. V'chulu. V'haderech tshuva she'osa Moshe hukach. Rabbi Nezal explains over there in Likutei Moharan that how did Moshe Rabbeinu do tshuva? She Moshe kosher esatz moya filum ha'pochei she'bepchusim. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to attach himself even to the lowest Jew. Because there is found Kiddusha, there is found good, there is found Hashem, even in the lowest of levels. Lekayem, to fulfill what it says in the Pasuk, Umalchusoi Bakoil Mosholo. Hashem's kingdom rules over everything, even the bottom basement, even the worst filth. And Tuma and Klipois, Hashem rules over that also. Hashem's Malchus is there also. Ayin Shom Kol Zehetev. Look over this chapter in Likutei Moharan well. You'll see that Rabbi Nezal explains all of these concepts very, very well about what's called humbleness and what's called gaiva, and about this concept of Keseder and Shaloi Keseder, and how to be Zeche to the Keseder. Now Rabbi Nosson Zal paraphrases it a little bit for us in the next paragraph. V'haklal, to summarize what Rabbi Nezal says there, shekishemekashrin es machshavtoi b'kodesh baruch hu, b'shem havaya baruch hu, when a Jew attaches his mind to Hashem, in other words, to Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Bibichinas Mo, by making himself nothing, the word Mo in Hebrew also means nothing, zero, by negating himself, negating his own desires and his only interest in life is Hashem, pleasing Hashem. Somebody asks, what do you want for breakfast? Do you want sunny side up eggs or do you want scrambled eggs? The answer is that question can't exist for a religious man to a degree. Because if there's a Ratzon Hashem, if the Torah prefers sunny side up over scrambled, then fine, you can ask me which one I like more, and I prefer the one that Hashem wants more. But if by Hashem there's no difference between sunny side and scrambled, why should I want to be different from Hashem? Why should I want to start setting up rules that, I want this one. I say this one's better. What do you mean this one's better? A person has to try, again, we're talking about a super high madrega, but at least 99% of the fights that take place in people's homes, because she didn't do what I want, she never does what I want. I want this and she, blah, blah, blah. Just because I wanted this, she did the opposite. You have to ask yourself, why do you want this? What's your purpose for wanting this, Johnny? You're going to be in a grave in a couple of years or in a couple of minutes. Is it going to be any significance whether you had sunny side up or it's going to be any significance if the eggs were a little more well done or less than well done? Then that's why there's Shaloka Seder in your house. Because there's two memshalas. There's the kingdom of Hashem and there's your kingdom. Hashem set up his rules and you've set up brand new rules that don't relate to Hashem's rules at all. No, if your wife were doing exactly what Hashem would want, that's not good enough for you. You have your own malchus. You have your own idea of right and wrong or good and bad, and you want to impose that. You want to set up a second Shulchan Aruch in the house, which is me, myself, and I. Then there's the whole Shalika Seder bit, that whole thing, that concept of Shalika Seder.
Draw the line, you could say on every level, what really, really matters?
The impression I have is that there's two issues here.
Yeah.
Question number one is, let's see what Hashem says. Does Hashem have a preference as to whether the clothing should be folded or not? The answer is, neatness has a very important place in the Torah. It has a place in the Torah, and there's a lot to say about it in terms of Seder, in terms of a person's head being more straight when he's in a house that's neat versus not, you know, etc., etc. And again, to know where Hashem puts it on the priority list. If things are not neat, do you have the right to insult someone publicly? Do you have a right to reprimand your wife in front of the children? You know, that kind of thing. There's if you're playing by all the rules, and you're playing by all the rules. If it's not your malchus, if the thing that clicks off in your head is I want it, I like it this way, that's one point. Or the question is, what does Hashem want? What does Hashem, and what does Hashem really want? Again, there's emes and emes lamitoi. To
it
know
what... It could be in a situation that Hashem really wants it not to bother the person.
Exactly.
It could be a situation where it just can't be changed.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what Hashem
wants. And that's where a person has to learn a lot, or have a lot of shimush chachamim to get to know in each situation what's the solution. I can give you a perfect example of a story that I heard. One of Rabbi Rosenfelsal's Talmidim got married, and he got married a little bit later in life, and he was wealthy, and to him there was nothing more important than neatness. And he got married to a woman who was the opposite of neatness. So they were almost, it was almost going to be bloodshed and everything, and he finally exploded and said it to his rabbi, I want to kill her. He said, don't kill her, get a maid. His solution was to know that there's no way in the world, no matter who he is, he could be King Tut, he's not going to make her over. At this age, and based at this stage in life, and based on how she was raised, there's no way in the world that she's going to provide the solution to this problem. The solution for his problem was, and he has no excuse to use this against her or to look down, this function didn't apply to her, period. The solution had to come from... Again, in another case, the solution is different. And this is where you need Das. The Torah is a book of life. It gives advice on every situation imaginable. And either a person is a super, super Talmud Chacham himself, you know, to be able to see clearly in a situation, and otherwise he has to ask an Eitzah from someone that is a Chacham Amiti, who will be able to look objectively and say, what does Hashem say is the Emes here? What does Hashem say? And sometimes Emes is second place compared to Sholem. Between Emes and Sholem, which takes the priority? You know, to know that there are certain times where even if it says in Shulchan Aruch that this is wrong, the Shulchan Aruch is prepared to step aside, rather than have bloodshed, or rather than have somebody embarrassed publicly, a person could learn and learn and make mistakes, Rahman al-Salam. Learning alone, you know, this is part of a person's tefillah. Hashem, show me how to see to it that it shouldn't be anoyim loich, that in my house you should be king, not me. The last thing I want to do is get in your way, Hashem. You can learn with your eyes, from watching a Talmud Chacham, you could learn much more than looking in a sefer, usually. Start again from base. Va'klal shekish mekashen on machshava Rabbi Kodesh Baruch Hu b'shem Avaya Baruch Hu. When a person plugs his machshava into Hashem, the Shem Yud Kevavke b'chinas Mo, by negating himself, azay mamshichin chius me'Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then he draws life and energy from Hashem me'b'chinas keseder le'b'chinas malchus. He draws the energy from Hashem Yud Kevavke keseder into the Malchus, Shehi Bechina Shaloi Keseder, Malchus, which by nature is a concept of Shaloi Keseder. I just told you, Mem Lamed Chof is right away upside down, right? Reverse order. Vazai, Ba'asar de Izdechar, Nukvolayit Kataman. And then, when the male is present, when the Zohar is present, then the female isn't even mentioned. She becomes negated. The Shelo Keseder becomes Botel to the Keseder. Vazai Nizbatel Bechina Shelo Keseder, Venasa HaKoil Keseder. It becomes all one big Keseder. When the Shelo Keseder gets plugged into and receives what it's supposed to receiving from the Keseder. Vazai Hoilech Lotam HaKoil Keseder. And then things go right for the person. Whereas when a person unplugs his machshava from Hashem, he's thinking for himself. He's not drawing chius from Hashem, mebchinas mo, mebchinas keseder, lebchinas malchus, mebchinas shelo keseder. He's not drawing chius from the keseder into the shelo keseder. Excuse me, from the mo into the chava. Azai kaviyochel nifrad b'chinas malchus shaloi keseder me'akodesh morchu b'chinas keseder. Then he causes a separation of the malchus, which is called shaloi keseder, from yud kevavke, which is keseder. V'azai nas is chasishon b'chinas shaloi keseder mamish. And then the shaloi keseder becomes a real entity unto itself and starts really spreading a lot of shaloi keseder junk all around. Vazai choylech lotam shaloi keseder, and then things start going wrong for the person. Ki hu betoich bechina shaloi keseder kana, because he's swimming in shaloi keseder, because he didn't plug the shaloi keseder into the keseder in a manner that would dissolve the shaloi keseder.
In other words, the way he's acting towards him is only a mere reflection of the way he's relating to Hashem.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's no entity on her own.
Exactly.
It's just her, his own relationship to Hashem.
Exactly. The Iker Hapigam Al Yidei Gadlus Shehu Avod Zoro Shezeo Bechinas Ano Emloich. Rabbeinu Zal says that the main reason for this is because of Gadlus. The fact the person, which is called Avod Zorah, which is, I want to rule, I want a king, I want my will, you know, my wishes to be respected. Dainu, Shemafrit, Bechinas Malchus, Shaloi Keseder, Me'akodesh Baruch Hu Kanal. He's cutting off the Malchus, which is called Shaloi Keseder, from Hashem. Vze Iker Avodas Hodom. This is the main Avoda of a Yid. Lahamshich chius me'akodesh baruch hu lebechinas malchus, to try to draw life and energy from Hashem into the malchus, shehu bechinas hanhogas ha'olam, which is the concept of Hashem ruling the world, kedei sheyiskasher bechinas malchus ba'kodesh baruch hu, so that the malchus should get plugged into Hashem, va'oz choizer ha'koil keseder. And then there becomes one big keseder, kimavur leil, as was mentioned earlier, v'hovein shom heitev, and understand this very, very well, that this is our mission. Now take, for example, a Jew walking in a field, and there's a tree, and there's fruit on the tree, and everything. Hashem is b'chinas keseder. Everything in this world is malchus. The Gemara says that why did Hashem create the world? Why did Hashem make the creation? because Ein Melech Beloyam. Because the fact that Hashem has Chesed, that he didn't need anybody else for. The fact that Hashem is a Gibor, he didn't need anybody else for. You don't become a Gibor when you beat somebody up. Somebody that has big muscles, even without beating somebody up, is a Gibor, right? Or somebody that's capable of controlling his anger is a Gibor. He doesn't need anybody else to prove it. But Malchus, it says, Ein Melech Below Am. Somebody that walks into a room and says, I'm king, is a nut job if nobody else is there. Because kingdom implies that your authority is being accepted by others. That's the definition of Melech. So that Malchus is dependent on others. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Nizal quotes this, that the reason why Hashem made a creation was so that his attribute of Malchus should have what to go on. Because if there were only Hashem, the definition of Melech, in a sense, would be incorrect. Who's he king over, right? Which means that this whole Bria, the trees and the animals, it's all Malchus, right? It's all the fulfillment of Malchus. Therefore, Rav Nosenthal explains in Kotei Lochus, while it's in that status, the Malchus is not attached to Hashem. When a Jew takes a glass of water and says, Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shakol Nei B'dvaroi, he's plugging the water into Mo. He's plugging the Chava with Dibur, and the most powerful instrument that you can do this with is your speech. When a Jew makes a bracha on a fruit and plugs it into Hashem, he acknowledges that this fruit comes from Hashem. This Malchus is Hashem's. It's not my fruit. A person who can rip a fruit off a tree and just throw it into his mouth without any bracha, it's because he thinks he's king. He thinks he's the boss of that apple. He owns it. It's his. I don't have to ask someone for permission to eat the apple. It's my apple. It's my field. But a person making a bracha on something is showing that he acknowledges that it's not Ano Emo. Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Hashem is, by declaring Hashem as Melech Olam over everything he eats, that's how he turns it into keseder. That's what makes it that the fruit should give him nourishment, nutritional value, you know, positive value. Whereas a person who eats without a bracha, or makes the bracha without kavona, it's shaloi keseder. He's taking malchus into him without plugging it into Hashem in any way. Then he can get a stomach ache from it. It could kill him. You know, all kinds of negative aspects could come from it. That's one example of how Rav Nosenthal on the Kotei Lochus explains this concept of the Keseder and Shalei Keseder, and how our mission in this world is to take the Shalei Keseder, the Malchus, everything in existence, and plug it into Hashem. That's how we bring Tikkun HaOlam. You understand? That's how we will be able to turn everything into Keseder.